Sherlock, once again, to the hour of the time I've been to the
Super. Well, first off, I want to tell you, a week ago Sunday, I was out playing with the dogs, and the sugar bear got his cable wrapped around my foot, and I went to take a step, and he took off in the other direction, and I fell on my right knee. And some of you listen to this podcast, about 3 or 4 years ago, I can't remember exactly which, I was out working in the yard and forgot where I was at. I turned around real quick and smacked the same knee on the propane tank, and it was a year before the deal. It took a whole year to heal. So when this happened last Sunday, I wasn't taking any more chances because I don't want to be limping around for another year. And I just went horizontal, straight flat, didn't bend my knee, didn't put any weight on it, and that's why I had reruns last week. Much, much better now. First time I injured it, I thought, oh, it's nothing, it's going to heal up real quick. And so I just, I got up every day and went about my normal work chores and, put my tongue when it hurt. And so I didn't want to go more. I wasn't going to let that happen this time. So that's why you had reruns all last week. I couldn't take a chance on having another long-term knee injury. I'm 58 years old. I'm not 23. And so that's what's going on. I don't know where to start with all the firearm folks, all that's happening. It's pretty incredible, to say the least. I got to tell you that our freedoms have never been in greater danger throughout the history of this nation. I don't know how that happened. I'm trying to get everything together here, and it's been a week since I've done it, so I'm forgetting where all the buttons are. Anyway, our freedoms are in the greatest danger that they've ever been in the history of this country. And every time I hear President Bush, or anybody else for that matter, say, we're going to fight this war and we're going to win this war and without endangering any of our freedoms, and they're lying through their teeth. A lot of our freedoms have already gone right down the tubes. We have military in our airports
all over the country.
Many states are under martial law. The nation is still under martial law. Declaration of war, national emergency. They have appointed a chief cheese of the whole national Gestapo network now, Governor Ridge. And, of course, they say our freedoms are in no danger. All kinds of executive orders flying around, and Congress passing anti-terrorist bills, and Attorney General Ashcroft asking for draconian powers of wiretapping and monitoring. And now we have NATO operating AWACS all over America. NATO is a United Nations military force. If you don't believe me, look up the NATO charter. They say, NATO doesn't have anything to do with the United Nations. It's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And some fools fall for that. People like me, though, we go get the NATO charter, and I revealed this to you many years ago. We go get the NATO charter, and we look it up. What it says in the NATO charter is NATO was formed under the auspices of the United Nations Charter, making it a United Nations military force. Now, coincidentally, when we thought we were in a Cold War with the Soviet Union, well, I also looked up the Warsaw Pact Charter, which was the Soviet Union's answer to NATO, supposedly. Guess what it said? The Warsaw Pact between the Eastern Bloc nations and the Soviet Union was formed under the auspices of the United Nations Charter.
Then I knew the whole Cold War was a lie, was a scam.
And now you know. If you've been listening to this broadcast for a long time, you know a long time ago, because, you know, I read them on the air to you. Years ago, read them on the air to you. And now, we're engaged in a war on terrorism. We have no enemy, no front lines. They keep throwing this name Osama bin Laden around, but they're not bombing him. They're bombing all these other people in Afghanistan. And they claim that they have this coalition put together that which makes it a multinational force under the United Nations. The United Nations says they're not responsible for it. So that's a lie. And didn't George Bush say that he was going to go after not only the terrorists, but the leaders of the terrorists, the finances of the terrorists, the suppliers of the terrorists, and any nation that harbored or supported or gave any kind of help to terrorists. Yet we look at this so-called coalition that George Bush has formed to fight this war on terrorism, and there's at least, probably more. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say four. No, I've got to say five. There's five nations in this so-called coalition that harbor, support, supply, give sustenance to, and shelter to terrorists. Five nations. Two of them are Communist China and Russia. Sudan is another one. Syria is another one. Egypt is another one. Now let's make it. Israel is another one. Let's make it seven, because really our only real partner in this is England, and England, the city of London, has notoriously been a meeting ground and a safe place for terrorists to go and hold their meetings and plot their plots and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if France is part of this coalition or not, but Paris is another place. Well-known haven for terrorists. And if you want to know the truth, I guess the whole coalition is guilty, because the United States is the one who created, armed, trained, staffed, and supplied Osama bin Laden. It was the Central Intelligence Agency that created this weird form of the religion of Islam in order to get these groups that could never, never unite together to unite in order to fight the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. They sent special forces officers, SEAL team members, to Afghanistan to train these people, to teach them how to make bombs, to teach them how to commit terrorist acts against Russia. We supplied them. We gave them SEAL missiles to shoot down Russian pilots. Russia lost over 50,000 men in the war with Afghanistan, and we're responsible for most of those deaths through terrorist actions committed by the people that we trained to oppose Russia in their battle to take over and control Afghanistan. Now, guess what we're doing? We're going to take over, and we're going to control Afghanistan. I'll tell you why that this Afghanistan is so important. It lies between the nations that make up that whole block that used to be the Soviet Union, Communist China, and the Middle East. Afghanistan is a keystone to that whole area. Yeah, and you knew what they were creating when they created Osama bin Laden and his terrorist network. And they knew what was going to happen down the line. They've been talking about it for years. And I published the whole story on the website. The CIA's role and the terrorist attacks on America. If you read that story and you read all of the history there, you know that what I just told you is absolutely true. And so this whole thing is accomplishing two things. One, it's cementing the fact that now there are no sovereign nation states, that the United States, through its international and United Nations coalitions, can impose its will upon anybody in the world at any time they want to, under any pretext whatsoever. And here at home, it's doing away with freedom, with the Constitution, with the Bill of Rights, forever. Stop listening to these clowns when they say, we're not going to let this affect our freedoms and our traditional way of life. That's a lie. Because then, I just want to get this going to keep on going. I can't wait to hear what's going to come out of the Homeland Defense Gestapo chief's mouth. I can't wait to hear some of those key bits. And we've learned over the last couple of days that the President of the United States has ordered a list of names delivered to each county in the nation for law enforcement officials, local sheriffs, and police departments to watch. It's called the watch list. 90% of all the names on the watch list are known American patriots and militia members. So don't worry too much about it. They don't have the personnel or the time to really be watching them. And fortunately, some of them are patriots. Not too many nowadays, mind you, but some of them are. So what's the future hold, folks? Bad news. We're going to open the phones now, folks, and take your call. 520-333-4578 is the number. Two cases of anthrax in South Florida. I don't really know what that means, but I do know that pulmonary anthrax is extremely rare, very hard to find or catch, as a matter of fact. People who tend cattle, you know, anthrax, people who tend cattle, who own cattle, cattle ranchers, who sometimes have whole herds infected with anthrax, don't catch it. Now, the anthrax has to be around quite a while. To infect a whole herd, there's a period whereby there aren't any symptoms, and then all of a sudden they begin to show up, and then it spreads from cow to cow. And sometimes whole herds are infected and have to be cooked down and buried. And it doesn't spread to humans. So this whole thing in Florida is very, very suspicious. I don't know what it means. I don't know where it came from. I'm not trying to scare you. But it is very strange how a disease of cattle in a form which is extremely rare, pulmonary anthrax, got into a tabloid newspaper in a portion of a supermarket. One person caught it and is dead. And now there's another person infected. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening. Just wanted to pass along, my wife and I have done an extensive study the last few days on comparing the list of those who were injured in New York City to the CFR list, to see how many, if any, CFR people were injured as a result of the attacks on the 11th.
Well, I need you to speak up, number one.
Okay.
And number two, I don't think your study is going to mean much because most of the CFR members don't work anywhere in or near the World Trade Center building.
Well, I'm sure there were about 1,000 of the 3,000 people work in and around New York City area, and quite a few of them are in that lower Manhattan area on a regular basis.
But not in those buildings.
Okay. Well, just to let you know, there were 16 possible matches, but they're all very common names. And we're going to be culling through that list to try to determine if exactly what any matches that turn out to be actual CFR people who were injured. But
well, I think you're wasting your time because it's going to be meaningless.
Why would it be meaningless?
Well, if they wanted, because I already told you, very few CFR members worked in those buildings. I mean, what do you think you're going to prove by that?
Well, there's how many blocks? We're talking 10, 15 block area there. That's been just totally annihilated.
Well, that's not true either. Most of the people who were injured or killed were in those buildings, are right next to those buildings.
Right. Okay.
So, really, you know, if you want to go ahead and do that, that's fine. But I have no idea what you think you're going to prove by doing it.
Well, my understanding was that CFR global, you know, power types are in those types of buildings. UN building, World Trade Center building.
Well, I think you're going to, if you do some research, you're going to find it scattered all over the United States.
Okay. Absolutely.
Some people go off on tangents, and if they sit down and think about it for a few minutes, they find out that they're wasting their time. I have no idea what he would feel that he was going to prove by that. If a whole bunch of them were killed, that would tend to point that they're innocent. And if a whole bunch of them are not killed, it's going to be because they're not dead. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill, this is John from Wyoming.
Hi.
One fascinating thing that I saw a week ago today, they were having one of those daily news conferences with Bush's press secretary, Ari Fleischer. And a very gutsy reporter, a gentleman probably, I guess at least in his 50s, asked the question that in light of all the problems that we had with the attack on New York and this and that, that wasn't it odd that just 4 months prior to the attack, our government sent $40 billion to the Taliban?
Well,
and they were sleepless. And he brought out, too, that we have also sent something like $900 million plus dollars to the PLO.
That's true.
Now, here we are funding the biggest terrorists in the world, the PLO and the Taliban, and then we act so surprised when they strike at us.
The reason that they fund these organizations is because they know that ultimately they're going to strike at us.
Abraham Lincoln imposed martial law and turned us into a police
state. Absolutely right.
And for that fellow who just called you, by the way, the TFR, the last time I heard, was located approximately across the street from the U.S.
Yeah, they're a long way from where the World Trade Center buildings were, and not only that, most of the CFR members do not work in or even near the World Trade Center tower. I have a list of all the members, and I'm telling you right now, it's a waste of time to be doing that kind of stuff.
Exactly, but this whole thing, like you said, is a setup, it's a scenario. And we're being duped into believing that we need Uncle Sugar to turn us into a police state so we can be safe from terrorism.
Well, most of the nation's already convinced of that. In fact, they're screaming for it, begging for it.
Well, I've already taken my two senators and my congresswoman to task, especially when I first heard the news stories about how they wanted to expand the police wiretapping powers, where now they don't have to present any evidence to a judge. They can just put a wiretap on anyone's phone or computer or fax machine or anything like that, and reminded them of what Ben Franklin said, they that can sacrifice liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Yeah, but they'll do it anyway.
Oh, of course, because they're all part of the conspiracy. I think Ron Paul is probably the only person in Congress that I would trust to vote against that type of garbage.
Well, they're not all a part of it. They're just all as stupid as the rest of America. They think that they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Just like some of the people out here screaming for more security measures, more laws, more wiretapping, more, we don't need any freedoms. What we need is we don't need to be blown up for terror. That's what we need.
Well, they're the same idiots who are going out and buying gas masks. And
by the time they have a clue that they're under any kind of gas attack, it'll be too late for them to put on their mask.
You bet. They don't have any of the detection equipment that they need.
No, they don't.
So, God bless you, Bill, and keep up the great work.
Thanks for calling.
Take care.
520-333-4575. Yeah, we've never been as much danger in the history of the nation as we are today. And you know who we're in danger from? Exactly the people that the Founding Fathers said would destroy this country. Americans. American sheeple were screaming to be led to the slaughter. American sheeple are screaming to be sheared. And the American sheeple's representatives, who were sheeples living in their sheepledom before they were elected by their fellow sheeple to go be Congress sheeple, are in the process of putting together all those laws and passing them right now. Everything that they're doing is unconstitutional, folks. Even in a national emergency, even during a war, the Constitution only allows one thing to be stripped from the Constitution. You cannot suspend the Constitution. You cannot take away anyone's rights. The only thing that it allows is the suspension of habeas corpus for the duration of the emergency or the war. If you don't believe me, read the document. It doesn't give the power, unprecedented war powers, to anybody. It does not suspend anything in the Constitution, any protections, any freedoms, any rights. It does not suspend the law. It does not allow for itself to be suspended by anyone under any circumstances whatsoever. Some towns have military on their street corners. Almost every major airport in the country has military personnel patrolling it as police. We're hair's breadth away from what we've all feared for all these years. Good evening, Ernie.
Yeah, just one quick point. No one in the media, apparently, to my knowledge, has mentioned about the events in New York as a Holocaust. I find that kind of odd, because the term really fits.
Well,
but nobody called it that.
I don't know that it needs to be called that. It was the murder of a lot of people.
you know, these special terms that they come out for certain things and certain people use for years and years and years to get special dispensation from other people and because of their victim status, I don't approve of. I don't approve of at all. In fact, I think they ought to remove the term Holocaust from the English language. Murder's murder. You don't need another word to describe murder. It's murder. It's an act of war. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But you can call it whatever you want. I'm not going to call it a Holocaust. Because then we'll have all the people who were victimized in the murder and then bringing down those buildings and in the Pentagon thing, using that against everybody else for eternity, just like the Jewish people have used what Hitler did to them in World War II against the whole world who didn't have a damn thing to do with it. I'm sick of it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Nick and Charlie. How you doing?
Good.
So let me get this straight. I'm assuming you heard this from people, sources that you don't want to reveal, but they've released names of, or lists of names to county law enforcement across the country?
Yeah, I heard it directly from a police chief.
Man, gee, I mean, that's not starting to sound at all like not the government authorities or anything, is it?
Well, I think, you know, what's going on in this country would make Hitler drool.
Yeah.
And they have the technology that Hitler only dreamed of.
That's right. Okay, that's just, I wanted to make sure I heard that right. I was there.
Yep, you heard it right.
All right, thanks.
In fact, it was a major news story that was on some of the major news outlets, and it was soon as a few of us got wind of it and started asking questions, they yanked those stories right off of everything.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I was not surprised either this evening to hear on the local news, or actually on the ABC news, that no mention of the 15,000 troops the Chinese have moved to the border.
No, there's not.
And that, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, is a pretty major news story.
Well, China said that they were going to move some military units to the border of Afghanistan as their contribution to the coalition's help. I mean, they released that statement, and
right.
That was on the news. They didn't say what kind of troops that they were going to move to the border, and they didn't say that they were going to use those troops to support our action in Afghanistan, nor did they say that those troops were going to invade Afghanistan and help the Taliban.
Right.
All we know is those troops are there, and they're Chinese Muslims from the Muslim provinces of Communist China.
I was going to say, that to me at least makes it suspect.
Makes it very dangerous. They may not do anything.
That's right.
They may not use those troops for anything whatsoever. It may just be a ploy to make us watch out what we're doing, because I'll tell you right now, our government and our intelligence agencies and our military people know that those troops are there. And they know they're Muslim troops. Whether they announce it to the American people or not, that's another question, but there are quite a few of us who have sources and contacts who know what's going on.
Okay, that's all I wanted to check up on.
Yeah, just because they're there doesn't mean they're
going to
do anything.
Right, I understand that.
But they are there.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. By the way, folks, if you think you know what's going on, you don't. And so you've been to our website, WilliamCooper.com. WilliamCooper.com. And if you're not going to our website to get the news, and don't forget to go into the archives, because just the latest things are on the front page. You've got to go into the archives and read the stuff that's rotated off the front page into the archives. You can read back as far as you want, but the whole story's right there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. I'm coming in late. I apologize. So I don't know if you might have covered this, but I wanted to ask you. It was reported today on the news that the U.S. is requesting AWACS from NATO.
We didn't request AWACS from NATO. NATO is furnishing AWACS.
Okay, why, if we're just attacking Afghanistan, which is a third world nation, why are we receiving AWACS from NATO to secure our borders?
Well, supposedly all of our AWACS planes are overseas participating in the war. And so we have to have a United Nations force, which is NATO, patrolling our skies with their AWACS. That's the United Nations force, by the way, and I did talk about it at the beginning of the broadcast. You missed it.
I don't know if you're sure about that. we're going to have U.S. forces patrolling our border?
I haven't heard that, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I'm beginning to wonder what is going on. Have you been listening to this broadcast for years? Have you read my book? I have one time, I told you, I've documented, I've proven what their plans are.
There's nothing secret about it. It's all documented in United States government documents.
Why are you wondering what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen.
You're right. I caught the tail end. You said something about you received some information from a county police chief or something?
No, I'm not going to ask about that. You're going to have to phone in earlier or get it from somewhere else because you're not going to call in
halfway through the broadcast and have me spend the second half of the broadcast rehashing what I already said and what callers have already said on the first half of the broadcast. Come on, get a life.
520-333-4578 is the number. Take your call. Can you believe that? Gee, if that happened every night, you know, I could reduce this broadcast by half an hour and forget about all the people, you know, who don't call in the first half hour and cut our costs in half.
Ooh. I know that Al Wiener don't want to hear that.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. It's Gary from Connecticut. How you doing?
Good.
A couple of good whoppers I caught on TV was last week. They said that on our news, U.S. news, that 50% of the heroin that comes into this country is from Afghanistan. And if you watched Tony Blair's speech, did you see it last week?
Yeah, I did.
He said that 90% of the heroin that comes into
I know.
We know that's not true.
I know.
And I was watching NBC Dateline tonight with Stone Phillips and Jane Pauley.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how we got our asses kicked in Somalia in 94.
Uh-huh.
And the reason that happened was because Bin Laden had a task force and they're fighting us.
Bin Laden didn't have anything to do with Somalia.
Of course not.
Bin Laden wasn't there. Didn't have a task force there. We were fighting a bunch of people there who didn't want us to invade their country and impose our will upon them. And they kicked our butts with no technology.
Yeah, and yes, I was also outraged. And a lot of people that I know, just regular, everyday people who are not patriots in particular, were really insulted by the way the politicians were saying that we have to accept and expect a gas or biological attack. And that we are the common American people don't have the wherewithal to protect themselves, and they shouldn't buy gas masks. How do you like that one?
Well, I think they're wrong on all counts. We have the right to protect ourselves, defend ourselves, and there's not a damn thing they've got to say about it.
Yeah, that's it, Bill. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
But I will tell you this. Unless you have detection equipment and you have it upwind of where you're at and you get a timely alarm or detection that a gas attack has been launched, the gas mask won't do you one bit of good. By the time you know that you're being gassed, it's too late. Good evening. You're on the air.
Howdy. Hey, did you get the little pocket constitution that I sent you?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Oh, all right. Just wanted to know.
I don't know why you sent one to me, though. I probably got more of those things around here than anybody in the world.
I just wanted to have that.
But I appreciate it.
All right. Oh, there's going to be a story on your website tomorrow, Chicago Tribune website. The federal jets just took a plane down by O'Hare Airport. Passenger disturbance.
The what?
The Air Force or whatever. One of the passengers tried to get in and attack the pilot, and then the passengers had to subdue the individual, and it's kind of a messy deal, but it turned out all right.
I've already seen that story, and
you always do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I like best about your program?
What's that?
Is when the folks call and they're rude and interrupt you when they talk and stuff. You're like Judge Judy. I love it when you do that.
No, I just know what's right and what's wrong.
I know.
There's too many people in this country and in this world think that everybody owes them something. I don't owe anybody anything, and I'm paying for this broadcast. So when somebody calls in, they're my guest. If they don't act like a guest, I'll kick their ass right out the door.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just decent courtesy.
That's right. If they come in my house, they better behave themselves. If they come on my broadcast, same thing.
Well, there I'll go on you. Oh, see you around.
You're welcome.
Night.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, I'm tired of this Marxist attitude. Just because I got a radio broadcast, I owe somebody free speech. I don't owe you anything. Nothing. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Joe from Boston.
Hi, Joe.
You won't believe what the local talk shows were talking about. And Mike Siegel wants to federalize security. And he's complaining now about giving people forks, metal forks on the plane. Well, I called him up and so did others say they can use anything as a weapon.
That's right.
And to show you how off the wall some of these people are, where there's a difference between people that are scared and act crazy on a plane, or people because body chemistry is affected, as you know, by changes in altitude. They've had research done on it. Somebody said, let's take all the passengers and take their clothes off and put them in a Johnny, and then we'll have no problem. That's how stupid people are getting. Just wanted to let you know. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. I'll tell you the truth. I wouldn't go near an airport if you paid me $1 million. I would not, and I don't care if the airlines go out of business. I just don't care. They're going to legislate them out of business anyway with all the security stuff. If you go near an airport, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. If you go near an airport and somebody just thinks you look weird, you'll probably end up in prison for the rest of your life as a suspected terrorist. And guess what? Our justice system has already gone off the deep end. Now they got closed courts, star chambers, sealed documents. It ain't our justice system. I don't know what it is. It sounds more like the Soviet Union or Herr Hitler to me. If you go near an airport, even though you're innocent and you wouldn't think of hurting anybody in your life, if you just move wrong, you could end up in prison in one of these star chambers with some weird evidence used against you and put you away forever. I'm telling you right now, if you go near an airport, you're nuts. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, I can back that up. I recall it wasn't during the Gulf War. Actually, it was during the Gulf War. I went to the Delta terminal at LaGuardia Airport, and I saw people wearing parkas. It was in the wintertime. And blazing across the back was the word Wacken Hut.
Yeah.
And so, given that Wacken Hut operates private, we own prisons that contract to the government.
Well, it's a private security firm, investigation firm, prison firm. It does the dirty work for the government.
So the idea that you could go to an airport...
Wacken Hut people that guard Area 51 and places like that.
Yeah, you could go to an airport and wind up in the Wacken Hut gulag in a heartbeat.
And nobody'd ever know where you were.
Absolutely. I wanted to offer this. You know, you were talking about China and the Chinese troops from the Mongolian region that are potentially massing near Afghanistan.
Yeah, potentially they are.
All right.
I don't know what they're going to do with them, but they're there.
Well, it amazes me because some people don't seem to get this. The World Bank was going to pony up money to resettle 60,000 Chinese farmers in Tibet. And that got derailed because there were some protests out of the lobby here in the United States that are, you know, concerned about Tibet. I don't know if it's subsequently going to go forward. But beyond that, Goldman Sachs was given the opportunity to float an initial public offering on the New York Stock Exchange for an entity called PetroChina, which is the state-owned oil and gas monopoly.
Yeah.
To help capitalize that entity so that it could build a large facility in the Tibetan Plateau to drill for oil and gas. I think they wanted to build a refinery too, perhaps, or something like that. But it should be clear, not to mention all the Costco things and the amount of Chinese goods that are being sold here in this country, it should be obvious to anyone that we obviously, or I shouldn't say we, but individuals in control of our government have friends in very high places in communist China.
Well, and one of the goals of the New World Order, world totalitarian socialism, you know that they all have a vested interest in making that happen, because the end goal of socialism, according to Marx, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Castro, Khrushchev, Andropov, all of them, is communism. And so, ultimately, what they have designed is for the whole world to be communist.
Absolutely. And right now we're seeing sort of the fruition, in a sense, I assume, of that meeting in Yalta at the end of World War II.
Yep.
We have an international space station populated by United States and former Soviet military personnel, trained by the respective militaries.
Yep.
They've been sharing incredibly fantastic technologies in order to be able to put that apparatus up. There's obviously collaboration at the highest level.
There always has been. Correct. While the Soviet Union was still the Soviet Union, and we were supposed to be bitter enemies at grips with each other's throat, and atomic weapons and missiles trained upon each other 24 hours a day, ready to go to war at any second. Did you happen to notice that the space shuttle they built was identical to ours?
I noticed it. Let's bring this a little closer to the events of the day. People, it's lost on people that, you know, I've looked at the International Socialist website, looked at the various politicians from around the world who are members of that organization.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Perez, the equivalent of the Secretary of State right now for the State of Israel.
Yeah. Well, before you go on, you know that Israel is a socialist state, don't you?
Right. Mr. Arafat is also a member
of the International Socialist.
And it should be obvious to anyone that the upper crust of the Palestinian Authority is being propped up by UN money, United States money, and there's obviously...
And even by their opposition. They're all members of the same organization. They all have the same agenda and the same goals, and their opposition to each other and the Hegelian dialectic is what brings about these synthesis of the... The thesis and the antithesis in order to bring them at least closer to their goal until the next conflict, and eventually you run out of conflicts and you end up with what they set out to achieve in the first place.
And this fact just does not sink into the minds of the general public.
That's because they're not educated. It used to be. If you were an educated person, you were well-grounded in philosophy and in the classics. And all of these things can only be found there. If you don't read Plato, you can't possibly see the effects of his writings upon the leadership of the world.
What concerns me more, though, Bill, is that even a lot of the callers to your show
haven't got a clue. Yeah.
To grasp this.
No. Some of them have been listening for years and they still don't understand it. And even though I've proven to them, you know, with documentation, I challenge them to go out and look it up and prove me wrong, they're still surprised when they find out that it's true. They're shocked. Oh, my God. How could this happen? Well, yeah. Gee, if you've been listening, you know why it could happen. I've already gone through that with one caller tonight.
And it should be very clear to anybody who's paying attention that what we are going to be facing next is quite obviously an event that is going to demonize the patriotic portion of this country. And
well, whether it doesn't have to do that. It just has to be calamitous enough so that the public is willing to allow the government to do whatever they want, at which point they will go around the country rounding up everybody that they consider to be in opposition to their agenda. And I'm telling you right now, there's going to be... what happened with the World Trade Center towers is nothing compared to what's ultimately going to happen.
I fully believe that is quite accurate, and I give it 18 months.
Well, I don't ever give it a time frame because there doesn't have to be a time frame. You see that between 1995 and the year 2001 was 6 years.
Okay.
Yep.
And between 1993 and 1995 was 3 years. 2 years. So their time frame is their time frame, and I wouldn't be going around trying to second guess them if I were you.
Yeah. I agree. I shouldn't be saying that.
Gotta let you go.
All right,
thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. And listen to me, folks. You better listen to me. If I'm so off the wall, if I'm so radical and stupid and crazy and weirdo, how come I'm the only one in the whole world who's consistently been right about everything except for one? Manuel Noriega. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How you doing? I just had a couple comments, and I was just listening to your explanation on the Hegelian dialectic. I think it could be put best. It's just the end justifies the means.
That's exactly what they,
you know,
believe. Yeah.
And
they'd kill 3 billion people if they thought that it would accomplish their goal.
Yeah, I think that's where they think their power comes from, is the bloodshed. And they always use...
Their power comes from the ignorance and stupidity of what they call the masses.
Right. Which is symbolic of water. But they always use the term audacity. It always comes into my mind, how audacious can we be to say that we did this in a conspiracy?
I can say whatever I want.
Well, I'm talking about them, you know, Madison 12, the Bilderberg, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR. And I have another comment about the airports. Like, we have a ton of security. Everybody's got a microscope up their butt right now. But I'll bet you money, or not even my life, that the drug smugglers will not have any problems getting their packages on board.
No, of course not. Or into the United States at all. There will be no slowdown and no shortage in the supply of drugs for anybody that wants them, because that finances their projects and the things that they do that they have to get funds from in other places, because they couldn't withstand public scrutiny.
What would Purdue Pharmaceutical do without their heroin to make their OxyContin?
I don't know.
What would they do? You have a good night, Bill. You keep up the good work.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578. By the way, I want to thank those of you who sent me tapes of the only time I ever appeared on the Alex Jones Show. I was on there for about 45 minutes as a guest. Back before I knew who the hell he was and what he was doing. And so, after he told me to kick me off because of my language, there were a lot of people, evidently, who live in Texas who recorded that broadcast. They sent me a copy of the broadcast, and so I have it now. And whoever that is that called, I got to jump you because you didn't turn your radio off, dummy. I warned you about that.
Man, come
on. I hear that feedback in my headphones. I'm going to dump you. So anyway, and I now have a copy of the broadcast, and one of these nights I'll play it on the... Or at least I'll play the last few minutes on the air. It's about 45 minutes long. So you'll see that he did not dump me off the air because of my language or anything else. Alex Jones is just an unmitigated, stinking, rotten liar. Amongst a lot of other things. 520-333-4578. The number, still taking your calls. Till the end of the hour, and this is the most dangerous time in the history of this country, folks. And we're not in danger, believe me. The danger is from
within, not from without.
Understand that. The people in Congress, the people in the White House,
your neighbors,
the talk show hosts that are bombarding this country all day long with their crap are going to destroy this country right in front of our eyes. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. It's Will from Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to read, if I can, four short paragraphs from an article that was written by our Missouri State Representative Sam Gaskell and published in our local newspaper here.
What?
Concern what you said about the representatives being at least uninformed or ignorant, if you will, as the sheeple.
Go ahead, but be quick.
I will. I'm not going to read the whole article. I'm coming in the middle of it. But these are his words. The U.S. is infinitely stronger. Patriotism and selflessness are soaring. Young people have their first common cause, rousing many from their chronic apathy. And most of the world has enthusiastically united in opposition to terrorism. Improved security will improve our lives, businesses, international relations, and the appreciation for tolerances of others' differences. However, the immediate crisis for our economy requires an immediate return to our normal routine of shopping and traveling and reducing the indirect effects of the terrorist attacks that could severely depress the U.S. and world economies. If you have a fear paralysis,
limiting your normal shopping and travel activities, get over it. We have a star to follow, and this is STAR, shop, travel, and resist. Have you ever heard anything so stupid in your life?
What are you doing calling me? You should be out shopping.
Or get my card out and go out and get on an airplane or something.
Yeah, you should be following your leaders. You should be out spending money. Hey. And flying.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what. Go to the mall. Buy as much as you can. Buy two huge suitcases. Put all the stuff that you bought in the suitcases and go fly.
Exactly. Fly
to the next mall.
And tomorrow, the economy will be in perfect shape and everything will be wonderful again.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is not a time to spend. This is a time that you better be watching what you've got. You better prepare for your own survival, is what Josh did.
Absolutely. I just thought I'd share that with you. It's the height that's too heavy, and unfortunately, that's the leadership that we have.
No, I wouldn't call that leadership. I would call that a Judas joke.
Amen.
Thanks for calling.
Yes,
can I go? 520-333-4578. That's time for one more call, son.
One more call.
Monday night, the 8th of October. And, folks, by the way, in October, you know what happens in October. You said it will be. October is not a good month for freedom. Bad things happen in October. So, if I were you, I would be very careful. Very, very careful. Well, I guess nobody else is going to call, so I'm going to call it. Quick here, and let's listen to this on the way out the door. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Andy Pooh and Allison. I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, that told you that if George Bush was elected president, within 1 year of his election, there would be war in the Middle East. Major war in the Middle East. Who was it that told you that? Who was it that told you that there would be more terrorist attacks in the United States of America and much worse than Oklahoma City ever thought of being? Who told you that?
Thank you. This is the world famous WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA.
This is the time.
WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA.
It was
black,
the country was
wrong.
It was black, the country was wrong.